What we are going to talk about today is the structure of political debate about the future. We have been studying the world's preparations for the future since 1995. And throughout this period, we have noticed a disturbing reality in terms of how global leadership is responding to global crises. Our work involves listening to and studying the work of the scientists of the world about what is needed. There is a big disconnect, and has been since 1995, between the politicians and the scientists about what is needed. Since 1995, there has been progress in a number of areas. However, the overall trend is in a disastrous direction. In other words, things have gotten a great deal worse since 1995. And one of the reasons why things have gotten a great deal worse is that governments have papered over problems by engaging in actions that make things better in the short term at a cost of making things a great deal worse in the long run. A classic example of all this is the Obama Green Power Plan, so-called Green Power Plan. Obama was the best thing that ever happened to the oil and gas industry since Eisenhower, Lyndon Johnson, and Sam Rayburn set in motion the oil-based boom of the post-war era, where we chose to build an economy on the internal combustion engine fueled by petroleum, even though it generated the same gas, carbon monoxide, the Nazis originally used in their death camps. Obama tried to classify fracked natural gas as clean energy, which is ridiculous and very dangerous because even in the best of circumstances, while its carbon emissions are lower than coal, we think methane is much more dangerous, 30 to 50 times more damaging in the short term to the global environment. Even the claim that it's better than coal in terms of carbon is in dispute due to the lax manner in which natural gas has been regulated. The fracking disaster is just part of a larger problem. Now let's go back to a very basic point. Why have the politicians refused to call a crisis a crisis? And there's a very simple reason for that, because if they were to admit there was a crisis that required painful reforms, this would be a political disaster for them. People would ask, well, what have you people been doing in office? How did you allow this to happen? So people would be very, very unhappy about all this, you see. So that's a reason why it is not dealt with in that manner. Also, painful reforms would be very divisive and very costly from a political point of view. So what you've had since 1995, and really before then, is what you might call greenwashing, that there's a grudging admission that there is a problem, but the status quo has got the solution, it's under control. We're on our way, as Obama said, things have never been better, you see. Well, things have never been better is a gigantic lie and a very evil lie because it undermines reform. Responsible government should be warning about problems. Now, as we look at the debate for 2020, we see a continuation of these trends, and we see what we call a state of denial. Now, we're not going to discuss the Republicans too much because their proposals, frankly, are so crazy and destructive. I don't know really what anyone would say about them, but we are going to look at what's being proposed on the Democratic side. And what we have there is a refusal to face the fact that we need severe solutions for severe problems. A classic example is the budget situation, where you have trillion-dollar deficits extending out as far as the eye can see. You have an almost negative $9 trillion of net foreign and private debt, America being the biggest debtor in the world after having been the biggest creditor up until the early 1980s. These are fundamental problems, and we've also had the utter catastrophe of having spent $5 trillion killing people and creating disaster around the world in the long series of wars. So these are fundamental problems. Now, to solve these fundamental problems, there has to be admission that they're fundamental problems. But that's not what's happening on the Democratic side. These are all, we hope, well-intentioned people, but we have people making all sorts of fairy tale promises. There's going to be free money for this, free money for that, trillions for this, trillions for that. And it's apparently not going to hurt anybody except the so-called rich. We're going to raise taxes on the rich, something we favor. And even that could be disastrous if it's done in the wrong way, if they tax investment as opposed to consumption. In other words, if they raise capital gains taxes or something utterly stupid like that. This is going to further compound problems. So there is not a desire to confront problems. Now, in the middle of this is a young Swedish girl called Greta Thunberg, and she has really put the whole global establishment on the defensive by pointing out the obvious point that if we have a crisis, we should treat it like a crisis. Now, this has created a real dilemma because they want to give lip service to what she's saying, but their policies are a complete contradiction to that because, again, to treat a crisis with a crisis would raise questions about the current politicians in office and would require painful reforms. There's talk about a Green New Deal, which we support, and a war economy. Well, the latter point is something we also support, but that would be extremely costly to make the reforms that are made. So what is likely to happen is that events are likely to start solving themselves. We would hope that people would start raising the bloody cost and talking about it to deal with the problems, but we don't see that. So we will continue to document the cost on our website and we'll continue to monitor things. However, it's important to think through where all this is going. Historically in history, when you have dysfunctional political systems, if problems solve themselves eventually, you see, and eventually is coming a lot closer than people think. We hear this, we've heard this for years. Global warming is going to destroy the world. We have X number of years before the point of no return. Problem with that argument is people have been hearing that for years and years and years and years, and the deadline keeps slipping. Our view is different. We've already passed the point of no return for severe environmental problems. That's already happened. So the severe problems are going to begin, or first place, are taking place now in terms of a whole lot of problems. And these severe problems are going to get worse as time rolls on. The problems around the world are going to start solving themselves. They're not going to wait for the politicians, particularly the politicians in the democratic world, which is why this lays the groundwork for coming revolutions, which we will have been discussing on our website. Indeed, I think we are the only organization in the world that thinks through where all this is going and thinks through the political implications of this and the emergence of Caesars and the emergence of a tremendous transformation of the world and a concentration of power to deal with these crises. That's the likely real future. Hopefully, a miracle will happen and the politicians will solve things before then. But that's not very likely. And that's why we urge you to come to our website and read about the real future. This is the end of this lecture.